Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. We got a long holiday weekend to look forward to, so hopefully you've been able to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to the grab-a-pencil portion of the show in a little bit, and we'll get to what I've been watching a little bit. But I want to start things off with a chat I recently had with Meredith McGrith, who is the CEO of Hoosier Films. And they have a new arsenal. Piece of their arsenal, I should say, the Hoosier Films Mobile Cinema. And they're seeking fundraising because, you know, we're public radio. We talk about such things. But anyway, it's basically a movie house on wheels. So recently I talked with Meredith about the Hoosier Films Mobile Cinema. Enjoy. So, Meredith, I was thinking of you and driving into work today because along the way I came across an old school bookmobile. And it sounds like am I right in saying that Hoosier Films are attempting to do is a new twist on the old vehicle?
A little bit like that, yes.
So let folks know the origins of mobile cinema.
Sure. So unlike a bookmobile, we're not there for renting or checking out movies. We're actually there to show you films on site. The mobile cinema came out of, a number of ideas. There are a lot of folks who do like traveling theater type ideas, but a lot of times you see movies projected on a screen or the side of a building. And we met a guy who had built a tiny venue for musical performances called the Concert Car. And we thought, gosh, that would be a really fantastic way to show films. So Danny was great. Danny Weddle, Carpenter Al, he let us borrow the concert car and install a TV in it, a really big screen TV. We fit about 15 to 20 people in that for screenings of short films. As you know, Hoosier Films is all about promoting Indiana films, getting Indiana films in front of Indiana audiences. So we were showing short films made here in the state or by Indiana residents. And it was just such an exciting experience. So we've had these plans for a while to get a truck of our own and convert it, kind of go with the classic movie theater look, drive it all around Indiana to special events and show people some films.
And as of this week, where are you in the process? And I we'll get into what happened with COVID in a moment.
Sure. So we are really excited. We have a really solid design that can be modified based on the vehicle we get. We have a couple of good leads on a vehicle that we're really excited about. We have somebody who's willing to donate chairs, so we'll have sort of classic theater seating being donated. We've got quite a few really phenomenal donors that we're really grateful for, and we are still running that Indiegogo campaign and asking the community to contribute to building this. We've got a lot of partners who are willing to help us, with some of the parts and labor and that sort of thing. And so we're really just pulling it all together. We've got some festivals who are excited to have us out next year. So it's getting really exciting.
So, and I know in the last year or so, because of COVID, everybody's still kind of gradually getting back into seeing films in the theater with other people. How big of a delay has the last couple years been with this project?
Yeah, absolutely. So We actually had all of these plans ready in 2019. We did the pilot program at the end of 2019, so we were really excited, ready to go that next year. And then, of course, with COVID, nobody wants to pack a bunch of people in a little tiny venue to watch films. And we got that, and we said, you know, let's wait. Nobody's excited about funding this right now. Nobody's sure how long it's going to take us to recover and get back to some sense of safety. So we're finally, I think, at that point where by next year we're going to be able to get people into this theater, and it's going to feel comfortable and safe, and we're going to have really good air circulation and air conditioning for those hot summer months. So I think it's going to be good.
And for those who don't know, can you give a little more background on Hoosier Films? I know it's this is kind of the film version of Watch Local. You can buy local and shop local, and now you can watch local.
Yes, exactly. And we use that catchphrase a lot. So Hoosier Films is all about Indiana films in front of Indiana audiences. We have a lot of really talented filmmakers living here in the state. They're getting into, you know, national film festivals, international film festivals. But Hoosier Films was founded to put those films in front of local audiences because the Hollywood structure currently just doesn't support that. We want filmmakers, of course, to get that big Netflix deal or whatever, but we also want to make sure that their friends and neighbors get a chance to see their films on the big screen. So we have a streaming service. We have a yearly film festival to celebrate Indiana film. We are going to have the mobile cinema now, and we're actually working on getting films into small local theaters around the state on a monthly basis really soon, too. So we are all about local film.
And you let some guy talk at a panel, you know, that's at your own peril.
We did, and he was really helpful, actually.
Thank you. Hi, friends, inside baseball there. So what does the rest of the year look like, not only for Hoosier Films, but for the next stages for mobile cinema?
Sure. So we're working on fundraising. Like I mentioned, we're going to have about a month left on the campaign, get the community involved in contributing. We're pulling together, like I said, a bunch of sponsors and folks who are willing to help us do this work. Our plan is to build this thing over the course of the fall and probably do some of the last weeks and things over the winter. We're planning on launching it hopefully by March or April next year. Make sure everything's safe and secure and ready to go. And then our film festival's in March, so we'll have that big party. We'll have a big grand opening for the mobile cinema. And then we're planning to do a whole run of art fairs, festivals, maybe county fairs, all kinds of events around the state next year.
Okay. I wondered what the travel schedule would be like. Would it be some form of Johnny Apple Cinema or just go, you know, in the days you don't have an art fair or a film festival? Is it something that somebody could just drive in the town, or they can, dare I say, rent or, you know, organize an event, a single event?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, that's one of the perks on the Indiegogo campaign is you can sign up to be one of the first to get on our calendar. So when we don't have an arrangement with an existing fair or festival, the cinema would be available for rent. We'd have a day rate. Folks can rent it for a day or two for a party or for a private screening. You know, we've been talking with local breweries and that sort of thing if they want to bring us out for a special event. So we're going to try to pack the calendar as much as we can.
All right. And once again, Meredith, where can folks go to find out more about mobile cinema as well as Hoosier Films?
Sure. So the easiest is HoosierFilms.com. If you specifically want to get to the mobile cinema information, just go to mobilecinema.hoosierfilms.com. That'll get you all the information. You can get to the Indiegogo campaign from there and help us build this thing.
Well, good luck, and here's the spare tires.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
So there you go, friends. That is Meredith McGriff, the CEO of Hoosier Films. You can go to HoosierFilms.com for all information about the events, the streaming, the film festival, which I alluded to in the interview. I got to be on a panel, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, Hoosier Films Mobile Cinema. Look for it. Be a part of it. Go check that out. That should be a lot of fun. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, before we grab a pencil, we go around the horn. I want to give you a little timeline of what happened last week. So a little inside baseball. I've been recording the film show on Friday mornings. So I had the show already recorded and sent before things went down with Roe versus Wade. And needless to say, that kind of put a damper on the day for many of us. And I had original plans of watching one particular film, but because of the current events, and this happens sometimes, I went home and I revisited Citizen Ruth. And if you've not seen Citizen Ruth, you really need to. This is one of Alexander Payne's first films, if not his, definitely his first film, but one of his early features. It stars Laura Dern, who's great in this, as kind of the town screw-up who winds up getting pregnant with a one-night stand and then becomes a pawn in both the pro-life and pro-choice movements. And what I think Payne does, who's also a screenwriter, one of the writers on this film, is and I don't use this term lightly. This was a fair and balanced skewering of both parties. It's really done well. If you're into dark comedy, this is right up your alley. It besides Dern, you have a strong supporting bench, including Kenneth Mars, Kurtwood Smith, Mary Kay Place, Swoozy Kurtz, Kelly Preston, Burt Reynolds, Tippi Hedren, and in a delicious little one-word, one-line cameo, Diane Ladd, a.k.a. Laura Dern's mother. So I had a physical copy of it, so I was able to watch it. And after last week, it was much, much needed. So look for it. I remember seeing this at the Music Box Theater in Chicago with my buddy Laura Jansen. I also remember her saying very loudly at the ticket window, "I'll take a ticket to the abortion comedy, please." So, yeah, that it's actually one of the more quotable films that Laura and I had in our little film universe. And a decent supporting role from Burt Reynolds. This was before Boogie Nights. It was it must have fit the schedule. I wish he had made more choices like these. So anyway, Citizen Ruth, that's perfect timing. And I believe I wrote, I had to watch that film, or I need to watch that film this day. And then I cleansed my palate by watching Shaft. Criterion's been on a hot streak recently with their releases. So they put out Shaft, and I didn't realize until after I bought it. It also comes with Shaft's big score, because they're both directed by Gordon Parks. So, yeah, sorry, no Shaft in Africa. I already have the funny thing is, I had already bought earlier this year the Shaft Warner Archives, which has all three films and a couple of features, and that's about it. And that includes Shaft in Africa. Criterion, being Criterion, there's a couple of those features from the old collection, but there's obviously new interviews, including one with Richard Roundtree, a more in-depth look at Gordon Parks, which is always needed. So it turned out to be a really nice double bill for me over the last weekend. But and the importance of Shaft in not just black cinema, but American cinema in the early 1970s. So, yeah, that is out. This week, I finally purchased my Blu-ray copy of John Waters' Pink Flamingos, and I've been kind of going through that, listening to John Waters' commentary track. And unbeknownst to me, when I purchased it, yeah, I still purchase physical copies. Come at me. It comes with the 1997-1998 documentary Divine Trash about the friendship and collaboration between John Waters and Divine. So another double feature win-win for me. And like I said, I'll be watching that one over this weekend. So a couple other videos of note, both put out by Kino Lorber, and one turning out to be a better surprise than I thought it would be, and that's the 1997 drama, Passion in the Desert. And this is one that I remember when it came out. The poster is our hero, who's trying to look like a leopard, and he's in the sand, and then below it is a pool of water, and the reflection of this man is of a leopard. And so at first I thought it was a kind of an Island of Dr. Moreau tale, and it's definitely not. This is a human adventure. Ben Daniels is the star, for you fans of The Crown and Rogue One. And he is a soldier in Egypt, a French soldier, he winds up getting lost in the desert. He is supposed to transport an artist from one camp to another, and winds up getting stranded out in the desert. He finds some solace and some shade in a cave and is awakened by a leopard. And the man and beast spend time together, and they form a bond. There's one moment where there's some neck kissing or neck licking that I thought, oh, are we really going to go down this path? And they cut away. But what it reminded me of was like a grown-up version of those Disney movies in the 60s where man and animal become friends and they live. And the title's Passion in the Desert in this one. So they might go there, but only if you think about it. And to quote Colonel Brady, I don't think about things I don't think about. Also appreciative that for this film being about 90 minutes, we don't get a 30-minute prologue and the soldier being sent on his mission and meeting the artists and then having them travel. This could have been a lot longer and more epic, but despite its being out in the desert as far as the scope, it's a fairly intimate story, and kudos to our lead, kudos to Ben Daniels, who has gone on to do other things. Obviously, this is one of his earlier choices, but yeah, it's pretty good. And so, if you're into humans connecting with animals, and it's not a Disney film, and it's not Grizzly Man, and it's hopefully not the other thing, but yeah, look for Passion in the Desert on Kino Lorber. And then there's a lovely little documentary, and this goes out to the Glenn sisters over at the Two Sisters Bookstore in Richmond. But it's called Hello Bookstore, and it tells the story of Matt Tenenbaum, who, by the way, is also an executive producer on his own documentary. So you could say it's a commercial, but it's a nice little documentary about a small bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, the place that has a lot of old titles, really good inventory. And a little bit of the history before COVID, but the bookstore trying to maintain during COVID. And these stories will start to trickle out and hopefully become period pieces. But we get a lot of footage of doorside service, which we all kind of got used to very quickly. Wouldn't let people into the store to browse. But if you knew what you wanted or you found a book online, you know, you left your payment on the stool. He would put the book on the stool. You step from the curb to the, you know, we've all been there. So especially early on. So the story of Tenenbaum, who, if I remember right, gets out of the military and buys this bookstore in 1976. And it's a nice hangout film because there are moments that this is the reason why we love and miss bookstores. There is a wine bar in this place. We get some flashbacks and some flash forwards, of modern setting, but him chatting with customers and hanging out at the wine bar. And there's a lot of voiceover of him quoting portions of some of his favorite books and poems. So there's a cute moment where, again, it was a kind of a reminder where we see him washing his hands because we were told to do that early on. And he's reciting all of Shakespeare's play titles. So instead of singing Happy Birthday, he recites titles. So, and then it talks about the small business that gets in trouble financially. He is in debt with Simon & Schuster, and because you can only have so many customers in. There is a nice little happy ending. It's almost, and it's they even bring up George Bailey of what happens when you go to a GoFundMe online. And it's not just people in Lenox, but people who love bookstores. So anyway, I'm one of those bookstore guys whenever possible. Shout out to my buddy Taffeta, who got me into the bookstore world for a bit. But also on Kino Lorber, the documentary Hello Bookstore. So check that out. It's a nice hangout film. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Let's go around the horn over at the Tibbs Drive-In. We have Minions, Rise of Gru, and Jurassic World Dominion on screen one. Screen two, Elvis and Top Gun Maverick. Screen three, Black Phone, and Jaws 2. I always like it when the drive-ins play old titles, so way to go there. And screen four, Lightyear and Bob's Burgers over at the Tibbs Drive-In, over at the Skyline in Shelbyville this weekend. Let's see, Lightyear and Top Gun Maverick. So that is running there. And of course, don't forget Friday, August 26th, the Super Monster Movie Fest Size Matters at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. This weekend at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin at 2 and 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, National Treasure. There you go. July 5th, 10 a.m. as a part of the summer break series, Spy Kids. July 8th and 9th, 2 and 7:30 p.m. I'm really excited about this one. Duck Soup. If anytime you get to see the Marx Brothers on the big screen, that's worth checking out. Tuesday, July 12th at 10 a.m. as a part of the summer break series, The Prince of Egypt. Thursday, July 14th at 1:30 p.m. I believe that's a senior series. But Friday and Saturday, July 15th and 16th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Egg and I from 1947. Shameless plug, Midsummer Night's Dream, Arts for Lawrence, as a part of Indie Bard Fest, and that is happening July 21st through the 24th. So you can go check that out. It's being directed by yours truly. This week at Golden Globus Theater, they are discussing Excalibur, the best King Arthur story, or as my senior year of college at the Ball State University, we were doing Camelot is one of the big musicals, and I remember somebody at the Daily News saying that Excalibur is better than Camelot, more blood and genitals. So anyway, you can hear them talking about Excalibur at Golden Globus Theater. All right, let's go to Twitter and Facebook, and we'll find out what you've been watching this week. We start with Dan, who writes, revisited William Friedkin's Cruising for the millionth time. That's a lot of watching of William Friedkin's Cruising. I Arrow Video put it out a few months back, and I finally revisited. I hadn't probably seen this since high school. And it's a fascinating story. The documentaries about the making of the film are just as good as the film itself. Of Al Pacino playing a New York detective, New York cop who goes undercover in the leather bar scene in New York because there's a string of murders. And it divided the gay community to a certain degree. A lot of the gay community found the disparaging and the fact that they are victims and felt that it was exploitation. The extras in the film at the couple of leather bars of note were all for it. And anyway, you always hear the stories of a police officer who goes in too deep. And that's kind of this is that angle. That's a version of that angle. So, yeah, interesting stuff there. But, yeah, Cruising is out on Arrow Home Video. We go to Facebook, and we start with Devin, who writes Toy Story 4 and Lilo and Stitch. Craig writes Belfast. Chad writes The Man from Toronto and Days of Future Past. Joan writes Postcards from the Edge. Joe writes The Bessel Horror House in Texas. All right. Cassandra writes Mother's Day and Marvel Civil War. Melissa writes Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe. I got to get on that. John writes the second Downton Abbey film, Ghastly. I love the series and the first movie, but this second one is dreadful, even embarrassing. A sillier than necessary plot line, two main ones actually, so both so contrived. I swear the actors were embarrassed. No, they weren't. One main one died. I would have thought to get away from the set. She has very few lines, so though her passing is at the end, but we barely see her. So disappointed, almost walked out, but waited for the movie to write itself, but it got even sillier and more stupid. As I said, ghastly. John, don't hold back, man. Tell us how you feel. Kristen writes, I am mother. I had issues. No, you don't. Have you met the host of this show? You're doing fine. Nikki writes Doctor Strange, The Avengers, Avengers of Age of Ultron, and Black Widow. Vince writes Green Book. Kate writes The Giver. Joshua writes Nightmare Alley and Arrival. Doug writes Why Be Good, a silent film about a flapper. Johnny Guitar, I need to revisit that. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Buck and the Preacher, which is getting a Criterion release later this summer. Mahogany, which he deemed Diana Ross melodrama, and I'll get to that in a minute. Who Killed Vincent Chin, The Queen, and Downton Abbey, A New Era, and Elvis. Thank you, Doug. Okay, Mahogany. Mahogany's really bad. Laura and I watched it bad, Laura Jansen and I. So you could have a drinking game with how many times you hear, do you know where you're going to? But back in my Fox 59 days, many, many moons ago, because I would go only on Fridays, and Billy Dee Williams was going to make an appearance. There was a Star Wars convention coming to Indianapolis, and he was nice enough to come in. And one of the producers brought this up to me and said, he's going to sign some things. Do you want something signed? Well, as it turns out, I apparently was the only one that asked him to sign non-Star Wars stuff. I wish I could have seen this, but I got the end result, I guess. But the two things I asked for Billy Dee to sign, my VHS copies of the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings, and my VHS copy of Mahogany. And according to one of the camera guys, he just kind of chuckled, shook his head, signed it, said nothing. So thank you, Fox 59 AM, and thank you, Billy Dee Williams. Oh, it's a doozy. If you've not seen it, it is Diana Ross plays a fashion designer who becomes a supermodel. Billy Dee Williams is her politician boyfriend, and it's a rise and fall story. Anthony Perkins plays the famous but vindictive, slightly off edge fashion photographer. I mean, it is a fun bad melodrama from the 70s. So look for that. Okay, back to the list. Magnus writes Pin, Mr. Frost. Jessica writes The Void, Splinter, Return of the Living Dead, Multiverse of Madness, more I can't remember. These are my listeners, or these are the people who post on my page. Stephanie writes Massive Talent with Nick Cage playing himself, a very unsung movie. It's fantastic. 5 stars. I didn't have to say 5 stars. We heard your review. Mike writes Revenge of the Sith. Andrew writes The Replacements. Good luck to you, Leo Grand. Meh, not as stellar as it is hyped up to be. His opinion. 42 and Imitation Game. Judy writes The Net and then says, boy, is that dated. And then My Fair Lady. You say The Net, I always think of Sandra Bullock in a black bikini with a laptop on the beach. So that's timeless. JJ writes Too Many. Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen. If you meet Santana, pray for your death. I believe that's a spaghetti western. The Batman, again, The Killing of a Chinese Bookie, Logan's Run, and Top Gun, the original, had never seen it. And now you have. And kudos to watching Killing of a Chinese Bookie. More people need to watch John Cassavetes. Sean writes Top Gun Maverick and Ed Wood. Joellen writes The Little Foxes. Mary writes Black Swan. Bob Bloom, hey Bob, Thor, Love and Thunder. Amy writes Father Stew, The Time Machine, and Moulin Rouge. Shelley writes The Martian. I think I was the only person left in the world who had not seen it. It happened, Shelley. Don't worry about that. There's a lot of films I haven't seen, and I got this program. So better late than never. Hope you enjoyed it. Pat writes Elvis. James writes the recent Nightmare Alley, the original Nightmare Alley, Freaks, Morbius, and A Night in Casablanca. Krista writes, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, and I can't wait to see what Cooper Raif does next. Very good. Jamie writes, Spider-Man No Way Home, 13 Going on 30, Multiverse of Madness, A League of Their Own, Fried Green Tomatoes, Secrets of Dumbledore, and Ready to Rumble. Abby writes, The Truman Show, The Big Chill, Hocus Pocus, and Candyman. Tony saw Elvis and thought it was a great film, as did our buddy Simone. Kurt writes, Kurt, The Rat Pack, the final film in our Ray Liotta Festival at Bell Trace. On a personal viewing, The King of Comedy from 40 years ago. By the way, so Kurt, thank you. Give my regards to the gang over at Bell Trace. And yeah, King of Comedy is just as relevant, if not more so today, than it was in 1982. So way to go there. Underappreciated Scorsese film. Nancy writes, Phantom of the Open. Abby writes Deepwater Horizon and Apollo 13. Amanda, who takes pictures of the DVD covers she checks out from the library. Thank you, love. Lenny and Bojangles, the biopic with Gregory Hines, Zoe Saldana's Rosemary's Baby, East of Eden, Come September, Rock Hudson and Gina Lola Brigida. Jed writes, watch Sunset Boulevard for the first time. What a great ride. I can see several future movies and that they were influenced by this film. Dead on correct, Jed. Way to notice that. Very good. Anthony writes Doctor Strange, The Man from Toronto, and Spiderhead. Christian writes, no movies this week, but I've been watching The Avengers, the Emma Peel era. Yeah. And Star Trek DS9 because it is leaving Netflix. Yeah. But if you have physical copies of it, it never leaves you. Sorry, I'm that guy. Thomas writes Spaceballs. Missy writes The Offer and Jurassic World Dominion. Chris writes Driving Miss Daisy. Daniel writes A Kiss Before Dying. I'm going to guess Daniel's the original one. I know you a little. Eunice Kolchak. You know, it's so funny. I'm sorry. You bring up Kolchak. Another shout out to the Golan Globus guys. They do a little segment, little episodes for every now and then called Tippy Taps, which are about discussions of TV shows. And one of them was about Kolchak. So hey, more Darren McGavin in 2022. Back to Daniel's list. Winter Meeting, The Night Strangler, The Heat, Good Luck Leo Grand, Dracula Animated 2022, 20th Century Fox, The First 50 Years, Caught, Spy, Sea of Love, Young Frankenstein, Haunted Palace, Raw Deal, Foul Play, and Harriet Craig. Thank you, Daniel. Sam writes The Black Phone, Grind, The Innkeepers, Bad Samaritan, P2, and Better Watch Out. David writes Eraserhead and 2001 A Space Odyssey. Dan writes Live and Let Die. Marlene writes Unorthodox. Nancy writes The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, exactly what I needed to watch on the day the Supreme Court turned on women. Thank you, Nancy. Hang in there, love. Mark writes Everything Everywhere All at Once. Tom writes, Tom writes 3 Days of the Condor and deemed it too many, and Pacific Rim, Love, Del Toro Production Designs. Yeah, Pacific Rim is an underappreciated Guillermo del Toro film, sorry. In the past, I have complained when you have two monsters or two giants fighting each other, I want to see it, even if it's two guys in rubber suits. That's the allure of the old Godzilla movies. And Pacific Rim delivers that, as well as a way too overqualified cast, making that gobbledygook sound good. Thank you, Idris Elba. Melissa writes Elvis and Father Stu. Leo writes, I don't feel at home in this world anymore. That's a title, friends, not a cry for help. A bunch of independent films at the Bloomsday Film Festival and an Irish language film called, subtitled, American translation, Thank God. So thank you, Leo. Eric writes, First Views, Heaven Can Wait. Good luck to you, Leo Grand. Going Attractions, the definitive story of the Movie Palace and Stillwater. Rewatches The Court Jester, Any Given Sunday, and Redline 7000. And thanks for the reminder, Eric. If you go to the Film Yap this week, Chris Lloyd does a reeling backward on the 1978 version of Heaven Can Wait. You can also read my review of the Shout Select Blu-ray collection, Herzog Volume 2, 11 Werner Herzog documentaries in feature films. Not as strong as Volume 1, but if you're a Herzog fan, it's still a must-have. Nick Rogers, Unlawful Entry, Lakeview Terrace, The Contractor, Happening, House Sitter, Kids in the Hall, Comedy Punks, Doctor Strange, Mad God, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, Emergency, Aeneas in Love, and Thor, Love and Thunder. Rachel writes The Avengers and Thor, The Dark World. Patty writes The Maggie, which is apparently also known as High and Dry. That's from 1954. Alice writes Kung Fu Panda. Annie writes Downton Abbey, A New Era. Kathy writes Star Trek, all 13 of them. Wow, Kathy, you've been busy. Oh, boy. Eric writes, I watched an old home movie. Does that count? And in parentheses, actually, it didn't. I was just feeling left out. never feel left out, Eric. There's always a home for everybody at Film Sociology. Tony writes, Wild Women of Wongo. And thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. I know you were thinking of me. Jeff writes, Elvis. Lou Harry writes, 20 minutes of the latest Doctor Strange flick, not a movie, but an outstanding episode of the Orville posted today. Pierre Lecoq, if you're ever in Chicago, check out Mississippi Heat, great band. Fairy takes place in Amsterdam and the Belgian Brabant, so thank you, sir. Abby writes, Beavis and Butthead do the universe. Eric writes, Doctor Strange's multi-thingy. Diana writes, The Platform and the 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Gary writes, The Underwoods of Napa Valley, Emily and Tim, Another Tango, A Christmas Proposal, Wild Prairie Rose, Love in Aruba, The Competition, Baby Mama, Elvis, Ant Boy, Detective D and the Mystery of the Phantom Flame, 1917, 99 Women, Nobody, Wolf Guy, and The Ambulance. Or is it Ambulance? Michael Bay film? Or Larry Cohen film? We'll never know. Michael writes, Jack Reacher, Greenland, Doctor Strange, and Wrath of Man. Rachel writes, Doctor Strange. Taylor writes, Spaceballs, Support Your Local Sheriff, and The Thin Man. Reading is a skill, friends. Bonnie writes, Doctor Strange and the Man from Toronto. Robert Muggy, Hustle, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, The Card Counter, The Tarnished Angel, and yeah, there. So I'm going to put this out here because I like Robert. Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story, as he deemed it, directed by two arrogant Hollywood pirates who stole more than a minute from my Al Green film and don't want to pay for it. So yeah, I gave a glowing review of Jazz Fest when it came out, and I did not realize that Al Green footage was from Robert Muggy. So sorry about that, Robert. Didn't realize that. Good luck. I don't know if you're going to go forward with that or... So there you go. But yeah, so look out for the Al Green footage. Or you know what? Buy The Gospel According to Al Green from Robert Muggy. You should check it out. Check out his website. Sean writes, Jerry and Marge Go Large. Kelly writes, V. Oh my goodness. And then... a really longer than it needs to be description, but thank you, Kelly. Joni writes, Desperation speaking, Susan? Well, half of it. I had to take care of my puppy. I expected it to be worse than it was. Not desperately seeking Susan, I'm guessing. All right, hang in there, Joni. Pam writes, good luck to you, Leo Grand. Lisa writes, Queen Sugar, a series, but if binged, it's an excellent film, films in quotes. Steve writes, Where the Red Fern Grows. Frank writes, saw the new Downton Abbey, quite excellent. So incredibly quintessential Downton Abbey and great on the big screen. Well, there's two posters that need to get together and have tea and discuss this film, huh? Mark writes, a shout out to an unknown indie film that really works. They, Them, Us. It's on Amazon, and I just watched it tonight, and I was pleased as punch from beginning to end. And finally, Vandy writes, the first four Harry Potters. And there you are, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you've watched some films that are good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Have a great long July 4th weekend, no matter how you celebrate or who you're celebrating with. And we'll try this again next week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Well, let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!